This is a meeting of the Board of Education in public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business and is not to be considered a public community meeting. There is time for public participation during the meeting as an indicated agenda item. I will be Rick to the punch, and Mr. Dozier is not with us this evening. He's traveling on business. With that, Rick, could we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dozier? Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item C, approval of agenda addenda items. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Board members, I placed in front of your main plate today a new tab 5 that I would like to recommend. It is the certified staff recommendations document for number 27714 meeting. It should be replaced in tab 5. The new document reflects FFL Shifers who intend to retire upon completion of the 14-15 school year. And the new document also reflects Terry Ally and Steve Cacciola as new assigned resident educators for the 14-15 school year. Resident educators are the new teachers to our staff. And, by mandate, they need to have mentors, so those are the two individuals that will be doing that. I also have for you, for later on in the meeting, just some updates. We've had a few conversations since this past weekend regarding board policies, and so this tab would go into tab 4 along with the other board policies and policy 2430, district sponsored clubs and activities, policy 5330, use of medications, and policy 5336, care of students with disabilities, or excuse me, diabetes. Now, because this is a first reading tonight, these really are not addendums to the agenda, but they are changes to what's in your packets.
Thank you. Anything else?
Roll
call, please. Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mrs. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. The resolution to approve the minutes of the September 22 and October 13, 2014 meetings. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. Item B, resolution to approve the financial reports of September 2014. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Bernauer?
I don't want to just quickly, given that we will have the forecast that will update estimates shortly, so I'll try not to spend as much time here. Just looking at just the one item in the tab, and I'll be happy to go over it also on the other 9 pages if anyone has other questions. For the month of September, we're talking about, we did not receive any property taxes. You see a large variance there, and that's because last year the settlement came in September from the county. This year it will come in October, and we have been notified that it will happen this week, so about Friday, October 31st, that we will get that. So both of those top two lines will change next month when that occurs, because we'll post the amount for the TPP tax as well at that time. You see a slight variance for the unrestricted grants and aid due to foundation. We're operating off of what we had been informed last fiscal year. We'll update that with the forecast. And they see a bit of a variance that will also update in the all other operating revenues, and that's largely due to timing of receipts on those items that are in there, such as all-day kindergarten tuition and participation fees for activities and athletics. On the expenditure side, we're actually hitting those fairly well. You can see the variances that are there. They're all favorable. The only significant one is in the other objects. And again, that's related to the tax settlement, because we'll be assessed the county fiscal office fees when that settles. Those come out of the settlement dollars, and the settlement get posted in October rather than September. So there are no surprises. No variance. It's certainly a lot of money, but it's really a function of timing, and some of that will get adjusted, hopefully, in the forecast that we'll present here shortly. Anybody have any questions? I'll be happy to try to address this for you.
What's our collection rate for the property taxes? What is, did we say we were close to 100? No.
We were anticipating, I believe, 98.1, okay. I think, in the prior forecast. We'll adjust that slightly. You'll hear in a few minutes because, as best I can tell, based on what I believe we'll get Friday, we'll collect. We have a difference that happens because the school budget is on a fiscal year, July, June. The county operates on a January or December, so I have to mix collection years for them to our fiscal years. It'll be about 96.4 for last year. There's a reason that happened with refunds. I'll explain more of that. It's been fairly significant the last few years, which is why I want to bring that up as part of the conversation on the forecast. I'm optimistic that that's going to increase. And perhaps we can discuss that as well in the forecast, but that's certainly an upside-downside item when we get to that, because there's no way to know. But we've run over the last 4 years from 99-plus to 96.4 on that calendar year or collection year basis. So I think we're about out of the woods on those refunds. We deal with those regularly, so I happen to know that those have about run their cycle for the last reappraisal that occurred in the county. So I think we're going to head back to those 99s, and I certainly hope I'm right.
I just realized that in a district that I teach in, you know, they're at 80% collection. How lucky we are with our community to have such a high.
That's a great point. That 96 you'll hear shortly, I'll pull the numbers off of it. Excellent. I can pull it. In calendar year 10, we were 99.5. 11 was 99.6. Those are almost unheard of to be nearly 100%. That's fantastic. And then in 12, we dipped to 97.9. 13 is 97.7. And I think we're at about 96.4 this year. So, but when you talk about refunds that are issued, and those are our taxpayers that are challenging their valuations, and they get decisions in their favor, and that can happen, you can file once each three-year cycle. We don't counter-challenge any residential filings. We do counter-challenge any commercial filings of significance, I would say. Because we go after a small dollar amount and spend the big fees to do that. It just wouldn't make sense. And if you go back and you're taking collection of your calendar years, I won't do this during the forecast, so don't worry, you'll hear this twice. I'll send you over on this one. But you go back and take the calendar years from the county, and I then tried to split those accurately based on what they gave you for the settlements. But for our fiscal year 2012, refunds were issued on our behalf of $117,000. And fiscal 13, that was almost $1.1 million in refunds where those taxpayers won challenges to their value. And that's with us defending, and we're, some folks will argue we're overly aggressive. I have to disagree with that assertion. But
do you know the split between residential and commercial on that million?
I don't. I haven't been able to get that breakdown.
I'm just curious. You know, because I know they push back on the residential because I tried to get one.
Right. This is commercial.
We can say accurate on the residential.
We're going after that one.
If some resident is successful in challenging their assessment, it really falls to the rest of the community, and at the end of the year, it nets.
It's a refund that, if it goes according to law, they have paid their taxes each half in a timely manner, and then it's refunded back to them out of what they paid in theory, except that the county has had such a backlog because of the number that were filed during the recessionary times that, you know, in fiscal 14, we were filing two-year-old claims. So So it looks like it isn't, but it actually goes. It's really theirs, but it's an overpayment that gets determined at a later date and retroactively applied. In FY14, last fiscal year, we were at $900,000, so that was improved by about $200,000. And for this year, which will be that settlement on a Friday, it's $555,000. My hope, guess, expectation is over the course of the fiscal year, the second half is going to be less. Therefore, my collection rate assumption will be accurate. It won't be 100% accurate, you know that, but we've tried to make it as educated as possible for what we think is as realistic as we know today. So, but then I really believe, and in talking with Bill Blackie, our counsel who handles these matters on behalf of the school board, he agrees with that assumption that we should be seeing our way out. And he knows based upon what he's billing for cases he's handling. So we're starting to see our way out of the woods. I don't expect to see those types of challenges next year once these are resolved, unless, you know, if the county were to come out and do a 10% valuation increase in the update of 2015, I expect we'll repeat the process. I really don't think they're going to come out and do a 10. You'll hear of my forecast, I have a 3% increase in it. It's what I believe to be realistic. You've got to look at home sales that happen with that. Commercial is really tough to make those predictions because it's difficult to find comparable transactions because most commercial sites are never identically the same. Houses, you can get better comparables to determine value. So, apologies for a long-winded answer, but it was a great question.
Any other questions, comments regarding September? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernard?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. Item F, other business of the Treasurer CFO. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
The first item of appropriation adjustments, just a small change due to some carryover funds from last fiscal year for non-public school state funds we administer on their behalf. And the Fund 499, that's two new grants that were received by the Capital Organization for whom we serve as fiscal agent. So that's welcome dollars for their operations and need to have your approval so we can begin to expect that. And then the forecast. Those who haven't heard this before, is maybe half of you here are not quite, but there's a more detailed document that will be referenced on the last slide of the PowerPoint. We won't get into all those details tonight unless someone has particular questions that they want to ask about those. And we'll try to pick out more significant overviews, some of the larger assumptions that have the most significant financial impact. Also, we try to take the changes from the last forecast to this one and explain why they occurred, what assumptions or realities. There's a reality here that impacts as well based on where we ended last fiscal year. And then talk about the upsides and downsides. And you heard some of that analysis with the collection rates. And I've said this before, but that's not something I did in districts prior to here, but it's something I've really grown to love because it allows for a pretty complete discussion of what could set this thing on its side and cause some of the things that happen as in the major changes that we'll talk about. So it all of this will be on the district website at 11 o'clock tonight, assuming board approval. And we just have some overview slides here that give some explanation to the reader that might see the document on the site and not want to listen to the recording of me again. So getting to the this first slide here with some numbers on it, you can see here the expenses have decreased from FY12 relatively constant out to FY15. And then you start to see an increase after 16. We have contract negotiations that are settled through June 30th, 2016, the first wages, first step increases, and you can start to see some increases that happen beyond that in the expenditures, but still relatively very flat on the revenue side, but you do begin to see expenditure increases that start to happen as we move into those outlying years of new contracts. So you can see the deficit spend relatively even this year, next year, in the forecasted items, and then that starts to change, which then obviously eats into the cash balance. The good news is, as we sit here tonight, based upon these assumptions, which I always tell you I wish they were all right, but they'll actually all be wrong, and it's a matter of degrees. But that's why we talk about where these upsides and downsides come into play here. But it does show positive balances, enables us to approach strategic vision plan discussions, negotiations, and those items in a different manner than if we were showing significant red ink in those outlying years. Just another presentation of the cash balance. You can see that start to drop. We haven't had new money in this district for 10 years. Fiscal year 2004 was the last time, so we're moving into our 11th year. And to be able to do this, that's happened largely, as you can tell from the previous slide with the revenues, by controlling the expense side. Some of that certainly has been employee participation in that with the wage freezes that have happened and the steps. Also, you've actually managed differently, and much of that happened before I came 2 years ago, but it's credit to board members who participated in that and the staff that's been a part of those changes. Important comment maybe to make here, as you look at the fourth bullet point, the fiscal year 15 balance is improved by $2.1 million. We'll explain very shortly where that comes from, but I've mentioned there what a $1 million new levy money would bring in. Not that the levy would be $1 million, but it's just an easy number to use to extrapolate to any other number someone might pick. And nothing that we present here tonight, I have zero in, I have resumption of steps. It has nothing to do with me bargaining with any groups in public, because this is not the appropriate forum to do that. So those items you will see included on the upside-downside charts at the end of this presentation. Major assumptions that were made. Mrs. Mack asked about the collection rate, and you can see it there as the first bullet point, because that's the bulk of her dollars. So spent a lot of time looking at that. Mentioned those year-by-year percentages earlier. I actually tweaked that down a little bit for this fiscal year because of where last year's collection year, calendar year collections came in, and that first half refund amount, I took it down from what I had in the prior forecast, so that'll come back into play in a future slide here. But I am optimistic, as I said earlier, that those collection percentages will return back to higher levels, but I haven't gone all the way back to the 99.6 and 99.7 that have happened. So there is some upside potential in the forecast as well if those become reality. And there's a fairly large piece of me that believes they will. And I don't have any, I have no crystal ball to say that. I just believe that the county will assess values fairly conservatively in the next update, which will lead to fewer challenges, which will lead to a higher collection rate, because we are very fortunate that our taxpayers pay here. State Foundation aid, I have it in flat to what we're getting now, but I want to guarantee. There's discussion at the state level that the guarantees could be phased out. There was a point in past years where they were. Superintendent Pearls and I attended a meeting two or three Fridays ago with the Alliance for High Quality Schools, and one of the representatives of that organization shared a conversation he had with the budget director for the state, who said, you know, if the poorer districts get some more money, and those of you who are on the guarantee at least are held constant and don't lose anybody, you all seem to go away happy. Well,
I'm one of those who will go away happy if it stays flat. We don't get any increases, but don't get any decreases. Obviously, I'd take more, but I don't think as long as we're on a guarantee in a stagnant enrollment situation that we are looking to get a whole lot of increase based upon the current discussions you hear at the state level. That's something that will play out. Hopefully, we'll know more for the May 2015 forecast update. No guarantees as to when that budgetary process finalizes. Catastrophic aid, we talked maybe a month or two ago. This is one of the good news items we have in this fiscal year. If you go back to fiscal year 11, we brought in, I believe, it was $29,000 from reimbursements on these special ed claims. And this year, the following year was $87,000. And this year it was $408,000. So we've obviously seen that grown. Part of that is an increased emphasis on this in the state budget. Part of it is we had more students who were eligible to hit the threshold amount. Those costs continue to increase. But it has been a welcome increase on the revenue side. For fiscal year 15, you see a bigger number in there. I'm expecting the first collection of that $408,000 was for 2012-13 claims, believing that 13-14 will get funded in May or June, which is when they did in the past. The state got delayed because of a new online claims filing system. So I expect that we'll receive 408 again for last school year's claims, but receive it this year, and then continue at those levels in the out years. Dr. Simsek has worked with families to alter some of the IEP placements and agreements. We've saved some money on those. Those costs tend to rise anyhow, even if nothing changes. So I'm not looking. We have one student who will age out that we know of. Typically see more coming in, or some who maybe didn't meet the threshold amount who will. So every reason is to believe it will stay constant. And the upside downside, I have it listed in there because one of the pieces that happens with this is the state allocates X amount of dollars. And then all these claims come in from all of the school districts across the state, and the state will then prorate back on the eligible dollars. So if everything is constant next year, our amount's the same. If fewer claims are filed, we could get more. If more claims are filed, we could get less. If the state increases the allocation above the percentage growth of the claims, it's algebra in a funky way, but no reason not to expect that amount remains constant. TPP, go ahead, Mr. James.
Real briefly, roughly that $408K is about what percent of our spend in that category?
Well, we filed, I won't answer the question directly because I don't know the specific answer to it, but we filed claims of about $2.6 million and received back about $408. So, gives you an idea on that part. And those, that spend for me to pull that number out, it's there are people costs in there and plus transportation costs.
This is a good way to look at it.
Okay. TPP, another item that would be linked to bullet two. It's a state budget item. We heard it that same meeting, but right now no one's talking about it. I consider that a good thing. That's actually the second source from whom I've heard that no one's talking about it. You'll recall, at least six of you in here, maybe more, will recall when that number used to be in excess of $3 million and it was phased out in about a $500,000 increments and it dropped down to its current level of $1.7 million. It was in a prior state budget scheduled to be reduced another $500,000 three more times, $200,000, and gone. The most recent state budget said they were going to leave that alone. My forecast believes they will continue to leave that alone. I've heard it twice now, both of whom I believe are respected sources, and each of them said that they consider it a good thing that nobody's talking about it, so you probably don't want to kick that can very far down the road if it's quiet.
But that's the mechanism whereby you see on TV in the ad campaigns, you know, we've increased school spending from Columbus. Well, technically in that category they did. But over the years, that's the category they removed it through changes in tax law.
Sure. And you lost prior to me being here, but we now have lost local sources that
partially funded through that, but the overall is why you saw that decline in revenue on the previous slide, and then it's been very stagnant since the interrelationship of those two items. Negotiations, I mentioned, they're in there from the August settlement through 16. The next one will happen. We'll implement those once we know. Strategic vision plan initiatives approved by the board. For this year, that includes a network administrator, a math content teacher leader, high school transportation would be the, at least the significant ones. Those are in there, all outlying years. The other one, I guess I would mention, is staff attrition savings. We typically talk about 6 retirements. We had 11 retirements, 1 resignation of teachers last year. And when we encompass that and other staffing changes happen that includes the high school busing, we actually are down about $460,000 in salary from those items. In the future, we're estimating 6 retirements. As I was putting this together, we were at 4. As of today, we are at 8, I believe. So that shows you how quickly that moves. So I have 6 in here. In May, we'll have different numbers. Each one changes 35, 40 grand, including fringes. Insurance costs, they're in here at 10% for medical and prescription, 3% for dental. That's what I had in here last year. You'll see a slide real soon here. When those become zeros, they're really nice savings. And in this particular year, all 3 lines of coverage for October 1st are zeros. So annual savings on those are $400,000+. And I just mentioned, again, in the purchase services, there are some adjustments in there. The only item that's changed is I added the SVP. I assume everyone should know what that means, strategic vision plan. You really shouldn't know what it means, but I just make that assumption. But and high school busing being the significant one in purchase services. Go ahead.
Devices.
I'm sorry.
I let it go. You can't say anything.
Did I miss something? You can tell me.
You just doubled the consonant. That's all.
Oh.
It's an easy mistake.
Actually, I think it goes. I think you can do it both ways.
Yeah, you know what? I think she's right. I looked it up. That's why. I know that she's right.
As long as I'm not being involved in this, I'm close. Major changes to the May forecast. And I always like this slide because things change, and it's like, okay, how did we swing? I said earlier, $2.1 million for FY15, but you can see in the first column, the personnel services, $400,000, and those are rank ordered by the right column, which is the 4 years out to FY18 to align with the prior forecast, but we have $400,000 in savings, essentially in the salaries area, which is related to the attrition that I mentioned. Increased restricted aid, that is the special ed catastrophic and the anticipated 2 years of collections in one. The decreased retirement and insurance benefits, I mentioned the 0% change, and we save about $400,000 on that, but only 9 months of that increase is in this particular fiscal year. Mm-hmm. So, and then there are some other changes in coverage that happen with individual staff members. Prior year adjustments on retirement contributions that are based upon estimates. A lot goes into that number, but it's favorable and sizable at that. The increased real estate collections, although it's a decrease in the first year, I based the increase on the 4-year total, and I just modified what I believe would be the collection rate in FY15 versus the entirety of the forecast period, so a slight downturn in the 1 year. All the non-personnel expenditures, I kind of lumped those together. We talked previously when the board approved the appropriations measure that we adjusted down some budgetary line items where funds hadn't been used for 2 or more years. So that's kind of a compilation of those items that were less significant and less rolled together. And then an increase in all other operating revenues. It's a bunch of small pieces that happen in the estimates with our pilot revenues from Broadview Heights, being one that adjusts periodically because those are income-based on those properties are out there. Also, an increase in our all-day kindergarten enrollment number this year has caused some of that growth. The all other financing sources, we have received a rebate due to Mr. Tomek's participation in a number of workers' comp programs. We received rebates of about $36,000, and we are anticipating a refund that has been reported in the media. We're expected to receive those dollars by mid-October. That has not yet occurred, but believe that our general fund portion of that will be about $110,000. That is a rebate of prior year workers' compensation premiums paid due to the performance of their investments and the surplus that they have available. They're going to provide funds back. So that nearly $1.3 million and the $700,000 that we ended with additional cash balance over the prior forecast gets you really close to that $2.1 million swing that I mentioned. And the debt out of the $100,000, frankly, is in rounding and some small pieces that I just didn't roll into this number. But it's very close to align those two forecasts. And likewise, I could go through the analogy, but one of the beauties that happens where the workers' comp refunds in the bottom, we know those are one-time monies that come in. So over the 4 years, it's the same impact. When we get a zero on insurance, that's forever a zero. So where it keeps a reduced base in future years as we forecast that, we don't have the multiplier effect happening. So that compounding that happens makes for some real dollars as we move out into outlying years. So that's why you see the nearly $5.7 million as we work those out into additional forecast years. Upside, downsides, just an overview slide there. But I mentioned the one mil calculation earlier. 5 mils, again, is nothing more than me putting a number in here. It's not the board's number. It's not a community number. It's a number folks can extrapolate off of that. We also try to show that when we pass a new money issue, because of those differences in collection years versus our fiscal year, the first year after passage, we would only collect about half of the money. I have in there a 1% base salary change that includes fixed fringes. We know the reality of the contracts expiring. 1%, again, not a bargaining number. It's a number from which folks can extrapolate to look at other numbers they might choose to review. Data participate fees. I know in my time here, we've talked about this one quite frequently, as this might fit into discussions down the road with the board superintendent and community related to strategic vision planning. We keep that in there on folks' horizon. 10% change in longevity steps. We'll spend more time over that. We're not giving steps now, so it hasn't been a real significant piece to this. Right now in the forecast, I have those steps coming back in FY17, about 1.5% cost. As we hire more new people, they will get steps. The beauty is we're saving bigger money on attrition initially, but when those steps resume, we will have higher increases in salaries, which is part of that expenditure line that was climbing at a more steep pace. So there could be some variances with those as we move down the road and have additional hirings. 1% change in real estate tax collections. I think I've beaten that one to death tonight. Strategic vision plan, $100,000 again. That's a number. It's a placeholder number. It's my number. It's not the board's, not the superintendent's. You folks can decide what you do, and then I'll apply the numbers to your decisions for the educational mission of the district. 1% property valuation change. I mentioned 2015 will be a triennial update year, I believe. And I know it's the year. I believe it's the triennial update, not the sexennial reappraisal. So I have 3% built in that our values will increase. I might be wrong. I think it's a pretty good guess, though, based upon property sales we've looked at. 1% change in insurance premium. We were 8.97% October of 13, and we were zero this time. So we have 10% in the forecast, 3% for dental. We'll be happy likely to take more zeros, $450,000 savings, and then you put that in a forecast over 4 years, it becomes real nice money. We talked briefly about the each teacher retirement, more or less than six. I believe we're up to eight for next year, but also believe that as we get 11 and 8, numbers like that, there's a possibility or maybe even likelihood that numbers in outlying years won't reach 6, so we need to be cognizant of the impact of that in future years as well. TPP reimbursement, I talked about, if that were to begin to be phased out, we need to keep that in mind. State Foundation, I have it in here remaining flat. I have no idea what will happen, but we'll believe that to be the case until there's reason to believe otherwise. 10% reduction in student activity participation. We don't see it happen in neat little 10% packages, but we have seen some reduced student activity participation. A, the cost likely drives students out of certain activities, and we also had some declining enrollment, which will have peer students available to participate. So it happens in different increments than I've put up there, but it allows you to extrapolate that number as well. Purchase services I have in there. As we continue to modify those budgets, there's likely less play in those. I don't know that we'll see too big of changes in those. The special ed catastrophic reimbursement, I'm good with that number right now and hope that I'm saying that a year and 2 years from now as well. Casino revenue sharing, I don't believe that will change much at all, or more of those other two. All-day kindergarten becoming an unfunded mandate, that was kicked around at the state level a number of years ago. It made a little bit of noise for a while, and then people started realizing districts with older buildings and some with newer buildings couldn't accommodate on space consideration. But we keep it in there. It may not be an unfunded mandate from the state, but it also could become something that the board and superintendent, as part of the strategic vision planning process, might decide that you would like to pursue. And if so, there's a number there. Me calling it low or whatever, that's no reflection on the priority that would be placed educationally. That's just a probability assumption from purely financial consideration. Last slide. That really is the link to the website of the state to see all of this. Those should be available. Again, assuming board's passage tonight, should be available by the end of the week at the state. It'll be available at 11 o'clock tonight on our website. Questions, please.
What is catastrophic reimbursement from the state? Special ed, what does that mean?
Students, and there's two different numbers, but generally speaking, identified disabled students on IEPs where their costs exceed $36,500, mm-hmm. were able to file for the excess above that for special education catastrophic reimbursement from the state.
Yearly.
Those are, I don't really know why they do it so late, because we know that, we know our costs now for last year. So, but that process typically concludes sometime late winter, early spring, that those have to be submitted. Last year, the state had a new online system, which was actually pretty sleek. I liked it once I learned how to use it. But it slowed down the reimbursement process as they were working through that. And I think they have learning curves on their end as well. But we'll continue to submit. Dr. Simpson's office tracks all those students. Jean and her office, fantastic, give me a lot of the information. We pull together salary, fringe costs through my office and all the related services, transportation, and things that happen. So we file legitimate claims for actual costs incurred under the allowable formula and then get back what we get back, which, as I said earlier, is not always known because the pool of dollars and the pool of claims aren't necessarily related.
You get reimbursed for anything over 36.
You get a percentage of anything over 36.5.
Yeah.
And then it can be reduced if the pool of claims exceeds the pool of funds that the state has set aside.
Right.
So
it's like the Peterson grant. Okay, yes. Right. There we go.
They might say it's 50% of everything above, and then they'll say, oh, we have $4 million allocated and $8 million in claims, which is far more than that. So we're going to give you half of what the formula would say because the claims are double what we have funding to cover. And that's why I say it's kind of a funny algebra that happens. But
so this is truly a guesstimate.
Much it is.
Yeah.
It is. I just don't think it will go down.
Okay.
Based on what I know of our student base, I don't believe our claims will go down. And I know the state is intending to fund it, at least in the second year of the biennium, at a slightly increased level. What I don't know is if other districts become more aggressive in the claims they file, it could negatively impact us, thus it's presented in the upside downside.
Could you go back to your bar charts toward the front end? And we've discussed this before, but if you bring this back, what is it, 09? I think our expenditures, our forecasted expenditures in the 2016-2017 range are about equivalent to what they were in 2009. Certain things in this whole discussion we have somewhat a level of control over, mostly the expenditures. The things that vary widely and we don't have a whole lot of control over come out of Columbus is the revenue side. It's either collections, which is a function of the economy from year to year, or it's things like catastrophic reimbursement that this time we got a pleasant surprise, other times less so. But I think that the takeaway is that the management of the yellow numbers over time has seen us through a pretty tumultuous 8 years or so through the recession and now coming out the other end. And I think people are going to be a little surprised at the fact that there's a positive cash balance because 2 or 3 years ago, that number was hitting zero and a little tighter than 2018, 2019. So it's, I think this board and with Rick and Scott, we have some things to discuss now that we have a little bit of breathing room. Not a lot, because the numbers don't go down in a linear fashion. They zigzag on the way down. So we have a different type of work to do.
But I also hope we won't lose sight of the fact that the reason we do have that cash balance is because our staff, both certified and classified, willingly have taken freezes. And that's always the biggest part of the budget.
So sure.
That's part of it, too.
That is definitely the biggest part.
I have a question for you, too. And I ask all these other questions on the phone, but I didn't think of this. In the 36 years I've worked here, I think there may have been one other year that there was a 0% increase for health care. Now that we're in the consortium, does that mean everybody that's in the consortium had a 0%, or is that specific to Brexit residents?
All the districts in the consortium has. It's across the board.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure because we got into that sometime in the 90s. That doesn't happen very often. That's
what that hasn't happened twice since the consortium started that they've had zero. And some other years that were low single digit. I don't think they've ever had a double digit. But I talked with Glenn Zahna, who's the Suburban Health Consortium consultant who's working with our committee on the One Board Work Plan, and he was recommending 10. I've used 10 for a while anyhow, ever since I came here. But he said that's what he's recommending to his clients is to use 10. It doesn't apply to dental because dental is a different type of benefit with caps on claims and things like that. So that's why I think the three. And we've had 2 zeros in a row on dental. It's a different cooperative report. And also, I didn't mention this, but it's in the detailed assumptions. We had, last year we talked about, we had a premium holiday in June of 2014. So we didn't have to pay more than our employees pay for dental. That saved us about $30,000 general fund. And we will have another premium holiday in September of 2015. So it actually helps in the FY16 numbers, which I didn't spend as much time on those outlying years. But again, it's $30,000. It's a lot of money to us individually, not a lot of this budget, but it's $30,000. So it's half of a teacher, however you want to look at it. So
what's his that mean premium holiday?
Because of the performance of that cooperative, they do not assess any premiums to any of their entities for that 1 month.
Wow. So you get to skip a mortgage payment.
Basically.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the other takeaway is, you know, some of these figures have three significant digits. If it were that easy, that'd be great. But you can tell from the whole discussion that Rick has led that there's a lot of moving parts, and the parts move quickly as well as dramatically. So thank you and Mike as well for working with Rick on putting this together, getting it out to us well in advance of tonight's meeting so we could ask all the questions we always ask. Thanks very much for the work that went into this.
And it is so understandable the way you've done it. I remember when I started on the board. I mean, it was a scary thing, and you made it very understandable, which is important to the public, for them to be able to understand this when it goes on the website.
In other words, if Kathleen and I can understand it.
There's a reason there are assumptions, and those assumptions can make me look foolish at times and fairly bright other times. I can't tell you that it's as good as I believe can be presented today, and it is not conservative. If it were conservative, I wouldn't put $408,000 out for catastrophic aid, and I wouldn't say 98% collection going to 99 on taxes when we're coming off of a 96.4. And I already know for this Friday I'll be wrong about the first half. So I'm hoping the second half makes me look smarter. So it will all happen, and we'll do the best way that we can.
But that's an important point to bring up for the audience, is that a forecast is not supposed to be so aggressive that everybody looks great on paper and that it falls apart next year. And you're also not supposed to be sandbagging it so you make it easily. It's supposed to be the center of the road, equal chance of going off the left side or the right side.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Roll call, please.
This is Bernard?
Yes.
This is Matt?
Yes.
Mr. Zerber?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. Item G, communications. Mr. Bubbles, Capital Conference.
Yes. On November 9th, 10th, and 11th, Board of Education, along with Mr. Verdine and myself, we attended the OSBA Capital Conference. That's an important opportunity for the Board of Education. We'll talk about curriculum, what about educational trends, 21st opportunities, curriculum, professional development for staff, and so forth and so on. There are about 150 sessions that our board members can access, legal sessions, curricular sessions, and so forth. And so it's good for the local community to know that their board will be attending this for 2 days, and some for 2.5 days to learn about those things. There's also a trade show there that provides about 500 exhibitions for board members and administrators to move throughout the area to learn about opportunities for efficiency, for ways to become cost savings items that we potentially have. They have keynote speakers that are nationally and internationally recognized. They'll be talking this year about the power and influence of the teacher and how important teachers are in society. Leadership and motivational opportunities for us to learn about the pursuit of success as an individual as well as an organization. Empowering students to be self-directed learners of the new 21st century skills and expectations of them in their adulthood. Unleashing the power of your assets, which is your people, which is the professional development side of things. And there will be, I'm sure, a good bit of information on 21st century career trends for students. So speakers will be discussing those items. I just thought it would be good to remind board members going to be going there in a couple of weeks, and also letting the community know that we have 100% participation in the Ohio School Boards Association conference. We have during my 5 years here, and that speaks highly of the board's interest in learning and providing guidance to the administrative team as well as our staff, and providing the best service possible for our students and our community. So, a little update, not necessarily for the board, but for the community. All six of you
Here I go. So.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks, Scott. Item H, hearing of the public. Persons wishing to address the Board of Education may do so at this point. Is anybody interested? Since it's such a resounding group, Dave, go right ahead.
Just David, I'm going to answer.
I'll try to make a start the time.
I just wanted to comment about the busing. I'm glad the Board found a way to finally make that happen. I know there's a lot of effort that went into that. And I think it's good for our community. I think it's good. Our community needs busing to be considered a high-quality school district by people who want to bring their kids here. And I appreciate that that was finally happened. So I just wanted to compliment you on that and say good job. And one other thing I wanted to mention, I ran into Sean Brennan at the event the other night, and Linda, he was made the chairman of his department. Is that right? And so I just want to say good choice, good job. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
And it's not even 8 o'clock and we get to leave now.
Does anybody else wish to be heard this evening? By hearing none, we'll move on to item I, administrative reports and discussion. Mr. Provost.
The first item on the Board's agenda is the new revised Board policies. This is a first reading this evening, which means basically they're available for Board of Education to review over the next month, where we will have a second reading, and during the second reading, that would be the time we would actually adopt any policies in this section. I sent to members of the Board this weekend sort of a abridged version of what the changes are in each of the policies. I should remind everyone that Mr. Jansen goes through this with me and also Mrs. Bernauer on our committee, and so things that are being presented to the Board have been reviewed by the Board's committee. There were a couple of things that we adjusted this evening based on some comments recently, and rather than have them happen between now and next month, I thought it would be good just to put them in this month. But, you know, curriculum development, activities and clubs, STEM schools, adoption of textbooks, selection of instructional materials and equipment for this time, for religious instruction, use of medications, care of students with diabetes, student fundraising, district webpage, student education technology, acceptable use policy, as well as staff acceptable use policies, receiving legal documents, student records, school safety, food service, wellness, vending machines, competitive food sales, and support organizations. I read those to you so that you know how comprehensive this process is about 3 times per year. Also, it's important to know that many of the things that come in our direction come to us because of legislation, new legislation in the state of Ohio. Most everything is because of new legislation, but there are circumstances where things happen legally in the state of Ohio, and we receive updates to try to place our district and the services that we provide students in the best light. So those are how some of the other recommendations come to us. So next month, if there are no adjustments or edits to the policies, we will provide them back to the Board for approval. And I would like to remind folks in the public that if you review these policies and you have a question or concern, please contact myself. You could also contact Mr. Burdine and anybody else on our staff. We'll make sure that we get you the information as best we can so that you understand exactly what that policy is about. So
thank you.
Where the policy stands. The second item of business, each year we have an annual October student enrollment and staffing update. I want to introduce Mr. Brian Weinkopf to you. He's the Director of Human Resources in the district. He's going to take us through those documents this evening.
Thank you. 2013 to October 2014 of this year. And then we'll continue throughout the year to monitor our staffing and some of the things that I'll go over once I go back into enrollment. I'll come back to the sheet and refer to a couple things. The sheet behind it is our enrollment, and currently the sheet on top is our elementary, is actually our 2 through 5, and where we were from the beginning of the year to where we are now. And the colors represent our strategic vision of where we want our enrollment numbers to be. If you look at most of our numbers, they are in the strategic vision in the ratio that we'd like to have them. Our third grade is a little bit high, but even Chippewa is just one student over, so they would actually come back down. So actually, we're pretty close, and then next year when these students move up, they'll be back within the ratios. And the same thing at Central with our fourth and fifth. When you look at the numbers at the back, which includes our middle school and high school, our actual enrollment numbers. But see, currently right now in our schools, there's 4,033 students. And that's down approximately around 68 kids from where we were last year, about 70 kids. But in respect to where the, I think it was Dijon Healy, is that how you pronounce it? What they were probably about 58 kids higher than what they expected us to be. Right around 60 kids higher. So we somewhat, plateaued a little bit in the sense that we didn't drop as quickly as we thought we would. So we have some of those numbers in the elementaries, and actually where they did go up a little bit. And we also had some other grade levels that went up significantly. Middle school was one of those. And so as we go through the packet, I'm going to go back to the front so we can look at the staffing. And the first thing that we'll talk about is the BEA, which is the teachers union. And actually, we're up 0.75. That 0.75 is actually small when you think about the fact that some of the things that we did for our certificate this year was we hired the math coach as part of the strategic vision. We have a reading specialist at Central to assist our third graders. We're trying to continually take our services and refine them and combine services where we can so that we still provide a high-quality service for our kids, and yet we get the most usage out of our staff that we currently have employed. Our BOSS is down. Some of that is based on the special education reductions. One of the things that will impact this that should come up next month is the busing. We'll bring it back up once they finish the busing routes. So you'll see that tick back up a little bit. I'm not sure exactly how much it's going to be now that the high school busing is in, but it's going to take it up probably close to zero is the assumption, maybe less depending on how routes were able to be combined. The admin stayed stagnant. We didn't hire anybody new from where we were last year. No additional staff, I should say. Administrative support, 0.9. That was also part of the strategic vision. That was the network specialist. And we hired a full-time FTE. The reason why it ended up being 0.9 is there was actually a person that worked 36 hours that was counted as a full-time FTE. We knocked the person down to a 0.9. Well, then when we hired the one, so it actually was only an increase of 0.9. And then the beekeepers, they did some restructuring last year at the end of the year under Rick Burdine's direction, and they were able to take their services and still provide a quality program, still service all the kids they need, and actually reduce their staffing. Food service is up a little bit, and that's across the district depending on where they needed more food service helpers, and so they increased a little bit. And then Kappa actually had a reduction this year also. They reduced 0.4. Some of the things that we see coming up, like I said, in November you'll see the busing come into play, and that'll push the bus numbers up a little bit. And as far as BEA, right now we look to be pretty consistent. Doesn't look like any additional staff. We had to take a couple of classes, and we see them on your board agenda. It's like 0.167 as a stipend. And what we did there is we actually used somebody to fill a class rather than hiring additional staff, so we're able to cover it that way. And third grade reading guarantee, like I said, at Central, that was a halftime reading specialist that we did hire to service those children, plus other services. And second unless you have other questions for me. Basically, tying it all back, even with all of that, and like one of the things that Rich had spoke about was the fact that we still have the reduction of $460,000, and that really is attrition as we see the staff retiring. Like we, this year, most of the staff, if you look at the years of retirement, the people that we're hiring in are coming in about 5 years. At the highest, most of them usually have a master's. So the significance in the salary is bringing our cost down. We'll probably continue to do so.
Questions?
No, just a comment for our students. And FTE stands for full-time equivalent. So that's how we measure how many staff we have. So, you know.
You assume a work week is 40 hours. So if somebody's working 20, they're a half of a full-time equivalent.
For this document, it is important to know that since Mr. Stein's been in the school district, we have converted and we have paid hours to employees to determine FTEs. So a single person in our school district is not an FTE. You add up the hours that people work, you divide that then by the 80. You add up all the hours and then you divide that by the 8-hour day, and that gives you the FTE number, and that's what generates these FTEs on this sheet of paper. So that's important. You could have 55 FTEs, but 200 employees broken up all sorts of different directions. So it's important to know that an FTE is actually an 8-hour position in the school district. So that's been beneficial for us to really have a closer understanding of how that relates to the expenditure side when it comes to payroll.
And for the young journalists, there's a tension. I mean, when over 80% of our costs are personnel-related, you have to keep control over that. But at the other hand, you're trying to deliver services, which beckon for more people. So there's a healthy tension there that has to be maintained. It's not always easy. Item J, unfinished business. Any?
I have none.
Thank you. Item K, new business. Personnel contract recommendations. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second. It's hard without Mark. I'm not sure which one of us is going to get a balance.
Roll call, please. Oh, excuse me.
Sorry.
You had a cursory look.
Got me off the game. Go ahead, Scott.
On tab 5, the only thing I'd like to call your attention to is the supplementals in the center of the page. This is another thing that we have worked with Mr. Burdine to adjust, and that is when we have a teacher in the school district who works an additional period, says, yes, I'll take a zero period, or rather than hire someone new to the district, we have that person. We used to put them in the book as a 1 point whatever FTE. We are no longer doing that. They're at 1 point FTE, and then we're adding the extra periods as supplementals. And I think that's a good direction that Mr. Dine is taking. It also establishes clear lines of distinction between the discussion we just had a few minutes ago regarding staffing. So it's important to know that that those are all supplementals and those are extra classes, and they've all been approved philosophically by the board and now hopefully tonight in this document. On tab 6, those are the normal sort of extracurricular contracts that we would bring before the board at this particular time of year. Obviously, many of them are related to the winter season. There are some coaches that are in there. I've had a conversation with board members regarding the coaches and their responsibilities, and everybody is meeting the expectations that we have for them in regard to that. The next sheet that you have, or I should say the next tab, is tab 7. That's classified staff recommendations. And you see a retirement at the top. You see several resignations. And I would just like to say that those are individuals who had the opportunity to advance to what they consider to be better positions outside of the district. They're not leaving because they're disgruntled. They have opportunities, and we certainly welcome all of them to this as they move on to new opportunities. And the last page of that, page
2 of that document, when you see stage crew and you see the minimum wage, rather than put the actual minimum wage in there, we have a feeling that it's going to change in January. And so these, since these contracts go through January, we put minimum wage there as opposed to an actual dollar figure that you've seen in the past. And those are my notations or comments for those pages.
Comments or questions?
I have a question. When teachers like take over like a period when there's not a sub that's put in, where do we put that? Where do we account for that? We don't account for that with Renhill, but like they're paid for that that period.
This.
Like it's really not.
She's asking for period.
Period subs. If a teacher left for the day,
Just goes into our sub calls.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah, it's not.
Anything.
It's not a significant amount. No. Okay. Pales in comparison
to the revenue. Well, sure. But that's where it goes. Okay, that's the question.
No, it doesn't. Rent is a purchase service account, so, but we have sub costs that we anticipate as part of that salary calculation I gave earlier tonight.
Right.
For those period subbing types of situations, because we know that every year we have a minimal amount of that occurs.
Okay, so if we upgraded the Renhill, which is part of another discussion, would we be able to track that? Do we currently track it, but would it go with that whole substituting, that whole staffing package?
We would be able to get both pieces of information. I mean, they're two different sources.
Right, but right now it's separated.
It is, because the payroll, the period subbing to our staff members is dictated by the negotiated agreement,
right.
Rate for that. And it's paid through payroll as part of wages.
Okay.
And Renhill is a purchase service that comes to us on an invoice and includes their markup for admin fees.
Okay. So.
But we can get you days, half days of Renhill house.
No. I just wondered where we put it.
Yeah, we can track it, but it's two sources.
Okay.
Anything else? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mrs.
Lee? Yes.
Mr. Dean?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. Item L, committee reports. Financial Liaison Audit Committee.
The audit is starting Monday. It's not really started already, but they'll be on site beginning Monday. But nothing to report, and don't anticipate there'll be any excitement.
Good.
That would be a good thing.
We don't need excitement.
By nature, there should be no excitement.
They're not too bad.
Permanent Improvement Committee.
We do have a Business Advisory Council meeting that will be coming up in early November, so although it's not permanent improvement, we will have a group of individuals who oftentimes provide recommendations to the Permanent Improvement Committee meeting in November.
Number 3, Transportation Appeals.
We have a transportation appeal that has come that will come before the board's committee. We opted for October 28th to have that meeting, but I think there's a conflict that may cause that meeting to move into November. Because there are appeals, we try to get those on the books as quickly as we can, but we also need to recognize that there are committee members who have to set their schedules, and so we're still working on getting that completed.
I think it's set for November 7th.
November 7th?
I believe so.
I think we covered board policy activities.
Yes.
CBCC?
We, too, went over our 5-year forecast. We had our meeting last Thursday. And because we're a school that's made up of 8 districts, our collections vary based on the cities, what's going on in the cities. And we currently have one city that's had a lot of devaluation in their housing. And so that's caused our number to go down for collections, not significantly, and all members were sent the forecast from CDCC also. And they're moving forward with Ramtech, and that's going to start being built, which is going to be the building that they've got the grant for, where there's going to be, it's going to be a significant improvement, and I know the mayor's put his stamp of approval on it as a good thing, and that's going to start being built in May. Right in the front, and the drawings are on the website also. Several other interested businesses also, Dr. Robux done a fabulous job of going around the state of Ohio, and there's other businesses that would like to be part of this manufacturing move at CVCC to educate our students. So the teachers there will be setting up how those actual how the actual curriculum is going to be set up, the teachers at CVCC, and they will work with those companies. So our, a lot of those students will come out ready for those companies and prepared to actually be employed in those manufacturing industries. So that's exciting news. And our joint board dinner, as you know, is coming up. That's November 6th at 5 o'clock. And at our table will be a student who attends CVCC, a Brecksville student. And hopefully everybody can attend. If anybody had trouble opening that e-bite, please let me know, and I'll let Dr. Roebuck know. And the featured speaker is always a pleasure. It's a former student that's graduated from CVCC. So that should be enjoyable. And any questions with the forecast, please send them on to me. I actually made the suggestion of the upside downside to be part of our forecast after Mark had introduced that a couple of years ago. That made it very helpful, at least for me, who does not have a financial background, to see, you know, actually understand the forecast better. So hopefully Mr. Smith was open to that, so hopefully that becomes part of our forecast also.
No, I picked it up here. It was his creation, not mine.
It was.
I swear it was mine.
No, really, it was mine.
I just put my initial bar over it. And I was there.
You made it whatever.
I believe my conversation, Mr. Jensen was telling me what he wanted. I was
okay, number seven.
Listen, now I'm going to have to get a
it to me. STEM committee, if I may, we have Bricks for Kids as a new initiative in the school district, and all three elementary schools now have more than the students sign up than they actually have capacity for. So we're trying to work it out with Broadview Heights, I believe, to try and use their facility to get the kids who were unable to participate to be able to go over there. So the good news is that more and more children and families are excited about STEM, and they are participating in that. And I'm using my cell phone to show you that I am also STEM-oriented. Young Astronauts Day is this Saturday, and that's packed as well. And we have 200 people sold out for the family night, Bricks for Kids Family Fun Night. They sold out 200 people by 10 p.m. on the same day that they actually put the flyer out. So I'd like to give kudos to Carla, obviously, Kathy Roderick, Scott, for all their work, Scott Kinkoff, for all their work in keeping that moving forward and keeping our families and our PSOs engaged in that. So it's good stuff. We're moving forward with that. And our robotics team, which is also part of the STEM initiative, apparently they are one of the younger teams in the state of Ohio, but they are one of the more influential teams in the state of Ohio in regard to their capacity to be able to compete and to be able to show initiative in this particular area. They're actually getting to be like a state leader, our kids are. So it's really kind of nice to hear that, and makes me proud, and certainly I'm sure the Board of Education, since this has been an initiative of the boards, as well as our staff and our community parents. So good things are happening.
And I know for the Science Olympiad, the test is on Wednesday, and the children take a test to compete in the Science Olympiad, which carries over to our high school. So it's good. It's more good stuff.
It's getting momentum a lot faster than I had hoped.
There are a lot of Saturday morning opportunities for kids also at CVCC, where they're doing things there as well. So there's quite a bit of a momentum in this particular area.
Like I said, that mobile cart, that robotics cart, there's more as we bring in more manufacturers. There's more that's being donated that our students, you should see, if you go on the website, the observation room to look in the manufacturing is phenomenal. It's actually built for observations with these glass windows to look in to see the process. So, you know, it's really, it's going to be fabulous. And it's just good stuff here.
Any other reports that we haven't listed?
On November 4th, the district will hold its, well, the district won't, but the county will have the levy on the ballot. The district has a levy on the ballot. And just to remind the board, it is a 6.8 mil levy. It's 5.8 mils for operations, and it's 1 mil towards the PI part, which is facilities. It was originally approved in 1997. It is a three-year term levy. It's been renewed five times since 1997. We saw our financial forecast on the board. It is essential to us because it represents about 10 to 11% of the district's budget. And I'd like to thank all of the people who have been involved, Kathy Harbinak and the team, who has helped the Schools Issues Committee with providing them information. But I'd like to thank the Schools Issues Committee. They're in and out of our buildings quite often. They're picking up signs, they're tweeting, they're doing all the things electronically, communication that I think are forward-thinking and are getting the message out to those folks. So I want to thank the Schools Issues Committee for all of the work that they have done. And hopefully our community will maintain its high level of generosity and approve this levy for a continuous term on November 4th. So if you have not yet voted, please do so.
Always vote.
Foundation. We had our foundations meeting, and the annual Grant. Beach ball is Saturday, March. Yeah, it's the first round of the NCAA playoffs. So we are going to have a basketball. That's not the theme. It's still beach, but we're going to have a basketball twist to it, which is exciting. And the round, there's a foundation
beach round. Basketball instead of beach volleyball.
There's a foundation round table that's coming up, and then Dan Prendergast goes to that, and I think Mike Gorman, and they have a round table with other foundations. And that's held in Parma at Normandy, actually, that's coming up. So
March 14th.
So please come. And we're not going to be, you can buy a table. You don't reserve seats, but you can buy actual tables. Somebody will have to purchase that. And that's it. I mean, we're all doing, nobody's sharing it. We're all doing our part. And if any board members want to get involved, we'd like you to get involved. And any recommendations for, as a trustee, are much appreciated, since I'm your representative. People in the community want to be involved in a great organization. I'm looking, for recommendations at any time, for that.
We should also keep our ear to the ground. There's a lot of new employers with the turnover. Somebody's going to buy a house in Brexville. Maybe they'll have kids, and maybe we can get them to help us out with this. I mean, think about it. I think there's like six new guys on the team.
Yeah.
The odds are pretty good with where that practice thing is that somebody's going to buy a house in Brexville.
I went to St. V's, LeBron and I are like that.
Well, call him. If we get him, that'd be the probably ultimate one. But I'd take Mike Miller at this point if he's willing to come over here. Yeah.
Good idea. So, yes, we're going to do silent auction and, always looking for our new ideas. I know we have six, so if anybody knows somebody who'd be willing to donate their vacation home or bottles of wine. We're going to be collecting bottles of wine, so we're going to do something with that. So if anybody has some bottles of wine, we would appreciate that also. Kat, thanks very much. It's gonna be a fun night with some new ideas. It'll range from Boone's Farm to, the high-end wine. It's going to be wonderful.
Item M, the board acknowledges the decisions of the expulsion officer as a result of the expulsion hearings held on October 8th and October 10th, 2014. We acknowledge.
We have information. I guess what I would say is that we have very good relationships with the parents involved in these situations, and we're confident that the things put into place would be appropriate for the kids and beneficial for their learning.
Item N, executive session to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee as per board policy 0166. Item A, may I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
This will be the final public event of this evening. We'll move into executive session upon this roll call vote. And we'll conduct no further public business this evening. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Burnham?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Gilbert?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. We are now in executive session.